The scripture tells us in Psalm 51, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Let us come before the Lord in our prayer for illumination. Our Father in heaven, as you have called us to worship you, may you receive that worship in Jesus Christ. For only in and through him is it acceptable unto you, as he purifies our worship and makes it acceptable in your sight, as he, through his death and resurrection, has made atonement for our sins and reconciled us unto you, and as he, who is our advocate, our mediator, our great high priest, sits enthroned in heaven at your right hand, granting us access and acceptance before you. As we have heard from your law, O Father, we have had our sins exposed, and as we have confessed them unto you, we have also, according to the truth and promise of your word given to us in Jesus Christ, received and heard of the blessed pardon for all our sins that you bestow upon all of us who call upon you in faith, looking for such grace and mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, O Father, as you have welcomed us into your presence, as you have pardoned us for all our sins by the mercy of Christ, would you now, we pray, further unfold your tenderness to us by opening your word to us, by blessing the reading and hearing of that word, that it may go forth in spirit and in truth, that it may be heard with listening ears, O Lord, and attentiveness, and that in every way, as the scriptures are made known to us by the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ, we would not only be instructed and encouraged and edified, but we would also, O Lord, be comforted and receive the consolation of your word as Psalm 23 ministers mercy unto us. So hear us as we call upon you in these things. Shine the light and truth of that word and of the gospel into our hearts. For, O Lord, we ask this of you, knowing that you are able to provide, being Almighty God, and that you are willing also, being a faithful Father. So hear us, we ask, as we call upon you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're back in Psalm 23 this morning. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. We're going to read the whole psalm, but we're only going to look at verse 6 in our preaching. Psalm 23, a well-known psalm. Hopefully, even more well-known now that we'll have had opportunity to make our way through it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That ends our reading then in God's Word, in the Psalm of David, number 23. Beloved congregation of Christ, brothers and sisters in the Lord, as we come to Psalm 23 this morning, we come to the sixth and final sermon in this series. We've covered quite a bit of ground over our time together during the course of the last several weeks, making our way through this psalm. Think with me briefly, if you can, of what we've seen from God's Word during our survey of this passage of Scripture. We've seen the opening confession of the psalm, where we're taught to make and to say in true faith, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And that confession, of course, at the very beginning of the psalm, it sets the tone for the entire psalm, and it gives us a firm foundation upon which we stand, steadfast and secure. We've heard about the rest, the refreshment, and the renewal which our shepherd provides for us. Remember the words, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul." That rest, refreshment, and renewal, of course, as we saw, comes to us through the gospel, through the word of promise, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. We've seen the guidance and direction that our shepherd provides for us who are his sheep. Remember what the scripture taught us to say? "He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And that guidance and direction that God provides for us, it must be received in humility as our shepherd leads us through a life and walk which is unto the glory and praise of his name. And as we've seen as well, the comfort which the Lord provides for us as we travel through trouble. Because even in this psalm, we were taught to say from the heart, "Yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And so even during the tough times of our lives, our shepherd is there to comfort us, to bless us, and to be with us. We've also seen that our shepherd provides us with all that we need. That's what the words of verse 5 testified. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." The Lord has established fellowship with us. He has made us his friends. And he has blessed us with an abundance of treasures and gifts. Those are some of the truths that we've seen from God's Word here in our study of Psalm 23, congregation. And what wonderful truths they are. What wonderful promises God has given us in his Word. Indeed, let us hear what he says to us so that we are spiritually strengthened to live before him with wholehearted devotion and with confidence in his tenderness and in his mercy given to us as he keeps us and as he preserves us. And let us do so with the instruction he gives to us, not only at the other places in this psalm, but with the instruction that he gives to us at the end of the psalm, in the very last verse. Because just as the previous five verses have hopefully been learned and internalized and owned by us, because that is why they have been given to us, to be learned, internalized, and owned. But as those previous five verses have been given to us in that way, so too is this last verse, "Likewise, to be taken into our hand and to be hidden in our heart, so that God might be glorified in us, as he watches over us, as he keeps us, preserves us unto himself, not only in time, but also in eternity. Therefore, we say with the heart," or we say with the mouth rather, "and we believe with the heart, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's keep this theme before us. You can see it there in the order of worship. "My shepherd will guard and keep me, both now and forevermore." That's what verse 6 has to say to us. "My shepherd will guard and keep me both now and forevermore." And since this is so, each of us ought to say, "I take comfort in his presence with me in the present, and I take comfort in my presence with him in the future." Now, as verse 6 opens up, we want to look at the first half of that verse. "Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." In those words, with a Godward gaze, as our eyes are fixed on the Lord and on his promise given to us in Jesus Christ, each one of us is taught to say those words of our first point. "I take comfort in His presence with me in the present. Now, as we explore and unpack this part of our confession, I want us to look at four aspects of what the Scriptures teach us to say in this first part of this final note of exclamation here in Psalm 23. In the first place, the words of the first half of this verse are words of certainty. They are words of certainty. And that can be seen right up front. The very first word of verse 6 is a word of certainty. Surely, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So there's no doubt in David's mind as he writes this psalm, no doubt with regard to the confession of faith that he makes here at the end of Psalm 23. He speaks with certainty. He speaks with emphasis. And he thereby teaches us to speak these words with that same sense of certainty and with that same sort of emphasis. Now, of course, the question could be asked, how can David speak with such certainty? Well, the answer can only be that David can speak with such certainty, not because he presumes upon God's grace or because he's taking God's mercy and promise for granted, but David can speak with such certainty because the truth and promise of God has been sealed unto his heart by the Holy Spirit. The language which David uses here in saying, surely, that's not the language of presumption. That's the language of true faith. That's the language of true faith. Surely is the language of the sure knowledge whereby David holds for truth all that God has revealed to him in His Word. It's the language that demonstrates a firm confidence which the Holy Spirit has worked in his heart by the gospel. And it ought to be that way for us also, congregation. This is the way true faith talks, beloved. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. This is the way true faith makes its confession of faith. So let me ask you, brothers and sisters, is this your confession of faith? Is surely the way that you talk? Is it the language that you use? If so, good, and genuinely so. It ought to be the language you use. It ought to be the way you talk, because it is the language of trust in the truth of God and of His Word. And it is the language of the assurance of God's grace. If this is not your confession of faith, or if this is not the way you talk, or if this is not the language that you use, then why not? What stops you from being certain that God's promise is true and that it's true for you? Nothing should stop the believer from having the sense of certainty that God's word and promise is true. His promises are reliable, and His grace given in Jesus Christ is the foundation of the believer's life. Surely, that's the case. Surely, that's true. So surely, ought we to believe and confess? In the second place, not only are these words of certainty, but these are also words of salvation. They are words of salvation. Even as it says, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That language speaks to God's gracious salvation, which has not only been made known to David, but which has also been received by David. Not only made known to David, but received by David. And since the Lord's goodness and mercy have been given to and received by David, so too, as well, those gifts of God's grace abide with him. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. Interesting language that David uses, talking about goodness and mercy shall follow me. The Lord is my shepherd, which implies David is confessing here that he is a sheep. And he pictures goodness and mercy as following behind him. What David does is he pictures goodness and mercy as though they were sheepdogs. Sheepdogs that follow behind the sheep, barking and yelping and keeping them together as a flock. God's goodness is pictured like a sheepdog because by His goodness He cares for us and He moves us along. God's mercy is pictured here like a sheepdog because by His mercy He preserves us and He holds us in His hand and He never lets us go. And these things are so, not just for David, but for all who are the Lord's sheep. This isn't a promise which is given only to a certain select group of believers. But this is a promise that is made known and is given to each one who knows the Lord by name and whom the Lord has called by His own. And so not only does the whole flock benefit from God's goodness and mercy, but as David's words make plain here, not only the whole flock benefits from God's goodness and mercy, but individual sheep benefit from God's mercy as well. Each of us should be able to say, goodness and mercy shall follow me. Not in a selfish way like we've looked at, but in a way that lays hold of God's promise given to us intimately and personally and individually as well as a congregation and as His corporate people. So let our confidence ever and always be in God and in what He has done for us in Jesus Christ. Because in and through Jesus, the goodness and mercy of the Lord follow after us. They watch over us and they cause us to continue. In the third place, not only words of certainty and salvation, but these are words that are personal. Personal words here. This much we've noted before, particularly in the first sermon, when we saw that the opening line of this psalm is a personal confession. And as well, throughout our time together, this has been noted. Well, it comes to the foreground once again here in verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That first person singular way of speaking is very important to keep in mind. Very important to keep in mind because it reminds us that the Lord is mindful of us. Mindful of us as His sheep, yes. Mindful of us as His people, yes. But not just as nameless sheep, not just as faceless people. Quite to the contrary. The Lord is mindful of us as His particular sheep, as His particular people. Think about that. Who are any of us that the Lord should know us? That He should regard us personally and intimately? That He should know our name and that He should grant us His grace. It's truly amazing that the Lord of heaven and earth would set His love upon us. Us, who are ordinary people. None of us is of any report. None of us has any real status in this world. None of us is of standing in the things of this earth. And yet the Lord has set His love on us. And in teaching us to say me and my as we confess our faith, God wants us to know that by His grace, He knows us. And He knows us intimately. So say these words, congregation. Say them in true faith. Say them from the heart. And say them as God teaches you to say them. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me. Say them and receive from them the witness to God's presence that they provide for you. that they provide for you personally. In the fourth place, not only are these words of certainty and salvation, not only are they personal words, but they're words and language of perpetuity. And that simply means that they speak of God's presence with us, not just for time, but for eternity. And we'll pick up on that, especially in the second half of the psalm. But the language of perpetuity here at the beginning of verse 6 is of God's presence with us during this life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The sheepdogs of goodness and mercy by which the Lord prods us and provokes us and preserves us, they will never stop their barking. The Lord's sheep will always be able to hear their voice. And the Lord's sheep will always be able to sense their presence. Because as the Lord's sheep, they're always under the watchful eye of the Lord, their shepherd. And this is so, of God's constant presence with us all the days of our life, it testifies to God's faithfulness towards us. And that faithfulness, of course, is given to us freely as a gift of God's grace. We haven't deserved that God be faithful to us. We haven't earned that God be faithful to us. And there's nothing we could ever do in and of ourselves to maintain God being faithful towards us or to keep ourselves within the boundaries of His oversight. Left to ourselves, we would apostatize and go astray without doubt. But by His goodness and mercy, which follow after us and chase after us and abide with us all throughout the course of our life, God remains faithful to us. Whether we have many days given to us by the Lord, or whether we have only a few given to us comparatively by the Lord, His promise made to us and our confession of faith thereby is that His presence with us is a constant. All the days of my life is what Scripture teaches us to say. Constant care. That's what we receive from the Lord's hand, since He's our shepherd. And this is what we take comfort in, knowing that we are not our own, but that we belong, body and soul, in life and death, unto our faithful Savior Jesus Christ. Now, as verse 6 continues, we want to look at the second half. Not only surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, but the second half, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In those words, again, with a Godward gaze, as our eyes are fixed on the Lord and on His promise given to us in Jesus Christ, we are taught to say, I take comfort in my presence with Him in the future. I want us to look at three aspects of what Scripture teaches us to say in this final part of this note of exclamation. In the first place, the second half of Psalm 23, verse 6, has words that are consequential to what we've looked at in the first half of the verse. And all that means simply is this. The last half of verse 6 flows from the first half of verse 6. It flows logically and necessarily from what we have already seen and from what immediately comes before it. If you have a New King James Version, right after the semicolon, those words follow necessarily from the part of the sentence before them. In other words, since it's certain that God's goodness and mercy will follow us as the Lord's sheep all the days of our life, and since He always abides with us, even all the days of our life, then it must follow that when this life is over, that the Lord, our shepherd, will continue to keep us as His own. And so we go on to say, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In this way then, our presence with the Lord in eternity, listen, our presence with the Lord in eternity is directly linked to His presence with us in this life. Because since God has adopted us into His family now, so too will He welcome us home when this life comes to an end and He calls us to Himself. And this is true for all of God's people. For us as individuals, personally, yes. But for us as a congregation, not just the local assembly that sits in front of us this morning, but for us as God's congregation, the Church of Jesus Christ, all true believers who call upon the Lord in spirit and in truth. And what that means is that not only does this promise belong to us, but it belongs to one another. It belongs to our loved ones, if you will. So when our loved ones are called out of this life and into eternity, although those times are filled genuinely with sorrow and mourning, yet those times are also filled genuinely with hope, with joy, with gratitude, and with thanksgiving unto the Lord. Because when they leave us and all this behind, God graciously opens up for them a world of beauty and blessing which is beyond their wildest imagination. And so too will it be for us. Not just for them, but for us. And so even as we rejoice in God's goodness and mercy given to our loved ones, both now and in eternity, so too must we, according to the personal language of this psalm, as we say it in true faith, so too must we eagerly anticipate, according to God's promise given to us in Christ, that He will likewise graciously welcome us home at the appointed time. Not because we deserve such a rich reward, for surely we don't, but because Jesus has lived and has died and has risen again for us. He has turned His Father's face towards us. That's why the Scripture says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." In the second place, not only are these words that are consequential, but this last half of Psalm 23, verse 6, contain words of true piety and of genuine religious devotion. "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That's language which describes our final resting place as those who are known by God and who have received His grace given to us in Christ. Imagine what it will be like to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Earthly homes are a tremendous blessing, and they can be extremely beautiful and pleasant to be in. Earthly homes provide us with shelter. How much more, then, will the house of the Lord provide us with these things? Infinitely more so, right? We will be sheltered and kept and preserved in the Lord's house. Because there is no one who can break into His house and snatch us away from His hand. We will have fellowship, full and free, without any interference of sin or distraction or weaknesses or shortcomings. Because when the Lord welcomes us into His house forever, He will completely purify our hearts by His grace. And He will enable us to give ourselves wholeheartedly and without reservation into His service. To dwell in the house of the Lord signifies life, which is lived in perfect friendship with the Lord. It signifies that all our many sins have been washed away. It signifies that all our transgressions have been covered. It signifies that nothing yet remains against us which would condemn us or which would keep us from being received as a guest in His house. His house! is our dwelling place. His house is our shelter. His house is our abode. And His house is such for us because our Lord Jesus Christ has loved us and has given Himself for us. So take heart, brothers and sisters. The end of the journey which God has set your feet in motion to travel will lead to a grand and glorious end, even into the midst of the house of the Lord, wherein you will dwell forever. And in the third and final place, these words are words of consummation. And all that simply means is that these words walk us through time, all the days of our life. These words hold us by the hand, and they usher us into the ceaseless ages of eternity. All the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The hope that we have as Christians, congregation, is a hope which is greater than any earthly treasure or reward. Everything that you see around you right now, everything that you see around you every day in this age, it will fade, it will rot, and it will perish. But that which we have received in Christ will endure forever. Peter tells us that it is incorruptible and undefiled and does not fade away. Let us rejoice in what God has given to us, congregation. But let us rejoice even more in what God has yet to make known to us. It truly is and will be an abundance. And so we say together, in spirit and in truth, confessing our faith, which our Father has given to us in His Word, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.